We're going to begin here looking in verse 1. Genesis 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh." Now, Abraham has a job for his oldest servant. Now, his oldest servant's name isn't mentioned here, so we need to find out who this is. Let's go back to 15, Genesis 15, verse 2. We're going to find out who this servant is. Genesis 15, verse 2. But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" See, Eliezer was Abraham's chief servant and his backup heir. You see, Abraham did have a child. He finally had a child, Isaac. Abraham was very old in his years when he had Isaac. And Isaac is now about 40. And Isaac has no children. Isaac has no wife. And Eliezer was the backup heir. So if Isaac had no children, it would go down Eliezer's family line. So Eliezer was very trusted. He was very, they were good friends, Abraham and Eliezer. They're probably close friends. When I think of Abraham and Eliezer, I kind of think of the movie Lonesome Dove. Gus and the Colonel. They were close friends. They'd do anything for each other. And that's kind of how they were here. Abraham asked him to put his hand under his thigh. Chapter 24, verse 3. We'll pick up where we were before. "And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." Why was it important who Isaac's wife was? I mean, the man's 40. Why is it important to Abraham who his wife was? Anyone? I mean, he's around a whole bunch of women here. God led him out into a land and gave him the land, and he's amongst all these Canaanites. What's wrong with him taking a wife from amongst the Canaanites? Why does Abraham want a wife for Isaac from back where they left many years ago? Right. He didn't want Isaac to marry a Canaanite lady and be tempted by their gods to forget the one God, the true God. He had that wisdom to know, Isaac, if you were to marry outside of the people, if you were to marry someone outside of those that follow God, you'll start to make compromises. Well, maybe it's okay if I don't pray to God today. I mean, I want to spend some time with my wife. Maybe it's okay if we wait a little bit longer for having the Sabbath. Maybe it's okay if we wait a bit longer for some of these feasts. I mean, that's all the sort of things that can go on over time. Okay, maybe I'll go with her and her family as they go worship Dagon. And it's a slow degradation. And then children become involved. Do the children go with their mother? Or do the children go with their father? Which God are they to follow? See, there's a lot of wisdom in this thought of Abraham. Just go find one for me, for my son. So he makes him promise to go to his family and take a wife from there. His family that they left many decades before. Verse 5, and the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, who spoke to me, swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give you this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Eliezer makes a vow to his friend. I'll do it. I swear. I'll go and I'll do it. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. For all of his master's goods were in his hands, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel outside the city by a well of water at the evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, oh, please, Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day. Show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and that the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So Eliezer, he comes upon this city. He says, okay, I know where all the women are going to gather. They're going to start drawing water, and they're going to all come out. And it's going to be those that are young of age, or those are the youngers that haven't been married typically, that haven't had their own family, that are sending their children out to do it. It's going to be the meeting place, where we're going to see all of these women that are potential candidates for Isaac. So that's why he goes there. But he prays to God. He says, God, show favor to my friend Abraham. Show favor to my master Abraham who sent me here. Please do this for me. And he says, when I ask for a drink, have the one that I'm supposed to pursue, that the one that I'm supposed to go to, have her say, not only will I give you water, but here, sit down, let me get water for your camels too. Now, why was that important? Why would Eliezer say that? What's significant about getting water for the camels? It's a lot of water, right? What else about it? What's that? Willing to serve. Somebody who has a heart that's willing to go above and beyond. Because custom was that they would give the man the drink, or whoever asked, the drink of water. That was custom to do that. Somebody shows up in your door and says, hey, can I have a glass of water? Custom was to give them the water. Everybody would do that. But a servant's heart would say, hey, you've been on a long journey. Let me help you. Let me take care of your camels. And that's what he was looking for. He was looking for that woman with the servant's heart that would be the great wife for Isaac. I mean, he'd heard for years what God's promises were, that Abraham's seed would be blessed forever. It was God's chosen people. So that was significant to him, to find someone with a servant's heart. Verse 15, and it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Malchal, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Eliezer's not a young man. I mean, Abraham's over 100, and Eliezer's his best friend. He's seen some years. But when he starts to see this opportunity, he starts to see it unfolding, he starts to see God's work come to fruition. He's excited about it. And he runs to her. It's like, oh, this is a chance. This is God's hand at work. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels, also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Machpelah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth towards my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Eliezer sees God's hand at work. He prays for that sign. And it gets worked out right in front of him. And as soon as they're done, he worships God for it. Falls to his knees. And he thanks the Lord for what happened. For showing favor on him and his master Abraham. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass that when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I prepared the house and a place for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, and provided straw and feed for the camels, and the water to wash his feet, and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you about my errand. And he said, speak on. You know Eliezer was hungry. You know he'd been traveling, him and his men. They'd set up this table for him to eat. Why wouldn't he? Why didn't Eliezer want to eat, Decker? Right, he had a job to do. He'd made a vow. He was supposed to do a particular thing. And until he got that done, he didn't want to be distracted from it. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given him all he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from my daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I will walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife from my son, from my family, and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from this oath. And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from the pitcher you drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman who the Lord has appointed to my master's son. But before he had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah. Coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please, let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down by from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her, and she said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, a male son, whom Michael bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that, so I may return to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here's Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words, and he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out the jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord had prospered my way. Send me away so I may go to my master. See, Eliezer, it was urgent for him to finish his task. I mean, the brother and the mother, they wanted to spend time with their sister and daughter before she left. They may never see her again. So they asked for 10 days. Can we have 10 days with her before she goes? But this is important. He's made a vow. God's prospering everything that he does. And if he slows down his momentum now, God might not prosper it anymore. So he asks him to send him on his way. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of the Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes and saw Isaac. She dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, "Who is the man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. It's the right woman. Can make you forget your worry. Can make you forget your mourning. Eliezer had gone on this quest to find that right woman, and God blessed him that whole way, each and every step. Now, we just read the entirety of Genesis chapter 24, front to back. You may not have noticed this, but the entire chapter is about Eliezer and his quest, right? But it doesn't once mention his name. That entire chapter doesn't mention Eliezer's name. We had to go back to verse 15 to find out who it was. What did it call Eliezer? How did we know it was Eliezer through this whole passage? The servant. Right, because these verses aren't meant to glory or glorify Eliezer. We don't want to lift Eliezer up. Yeah, Eliezer was obedient. Eliezer was a good friend. He kept his vow. But that's not the focus of these verses. This morning I read from you, from Luke. Now it happened, this is Luke chapter 10, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand on to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." That's a servant. Sets it all aside except for what he's supposed to do. Doesn't matter if he's hungry. We got to get God's work done first. Doesn't matter if he's old. That's Rebecca over there. I'm going to run to her. Doesn't matter if the family wants to spend time with the daughter before she goes away. We've got to get him back to Isaac. We think all these other things in our life are important, but they're distractions. And when God is blessing us in things, we want to continue that blessing going forth. Not be distracted. Pause. Catch my breath. Even when we think it's a good thing. You know, it's a parallel between these. The church is Christ's bride. And we're sent. Just like Eliezer. He wants to bring his body of the church together. He calls us. He chooses us. Do we let other things get in our way? Collecting his bride. Eliezer loved his friend. He would set all this aside to go and do this. He knew he would inherit everything if Isaac didn't have a child. And his family line would get it all. But he loved his friend so much. He set his family aside for it. We call Christ our friend. What would we do for him? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us to be a servant is not something on our own time. We're at your call. And if we're going to sing about it, and if we're going to say we are, then God give us the strength to do it. In Jesus' precious name.